a crime while he is, you know, again, if he is proven to be there and if there's no evidence that he engaged in any of the underlying property damage, that he was just doing his job. It's extremely concerning that he's being charged, and even more concerning that he's being charged with a hate crime. And it's concerning that all of these people are being prosecuted for hate crimes, because it is an absolute misuse of the hate crimes legislation, and again, an exploitation of the law, which is not new, unfortunately, in this country, as we all know very well, an exploitation of the law to prosecute the most vulnerable in favor of the most powerful. And in this case, it's very stark.
Lena Widdy is attorney for Samuel Seligson, a New York City-based journalist charged with felony hate crime for allegedly filming pro-Palestinian activists hurling red paint at the homes of top officials at the Brooklyn Museum. Seligson's work has appeared in Reuters, Al Jazeera, ABC, and Fox News. That does it for our show. Democracy Now! Is currently accepting applications for director of development, support our fundraising efforts, and an archives intern to support our archives team. Learn more and apply at democracynow.org. Democracy Now! Is produced with Renee Feltz, Mike Burke. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us for another edition of Democracy Now!
This is Judy Berry from Earth First, and when I'm in Portland, I listen to non-commercial community radio, KBOO, Portland. No compromise in defense of the truth.
The 2024 election is coming, and we at KBOO want to make sure your voice is heard. Take KBOO's Election Agenda Survey and help our volunteer reporters and programmers cover the 2024 election. We want to know, what do you want candidates to be talking about as they compete for votes? Fill out our survey by August 14th, and you can be entered into a sweepstakes to win a $50 Visa gift card. Full rules on our website. At the end of August, we'll report back with the community's priorities. Find the survey online at bit.ly/KBOOSurvey24. That's bit.ly/KBOOSurvey24. Thanks for your help.
Support for this program comes from KBOO members and the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. WILPF works to raise awareness of the World War II nuclear attack on Hiroshima, Japan, which killed 140,000 people, and to highlight Hiroshima survivor and WILPF member Hideko Tamura's efforts to raise awareness of the risk of nuclear war. Information at WILPFUS.org.
Hello, hello, and good morning. This is The Gap, KBOO's most listened to talk radio show on Fridays at 8 a.m. when we are on, and that is scientific. My name is Tammy, and with me is the one and only Althea Billings.
Hello, good morning. How are we? Oh, getting a round of applause.
Yeah, it's a wow. 360.
Wow, 360. I love that.
How are you
that.
Doing?
I'm good. I feel like I'm slightly lower energy than I want to be, but I'm happy to be here. Oh, she's giving me the energy. I take it back. I'm here. very pleased to be here with you this morning on The Gap. What kind of show do we like to have? We like to do a two-parter type of show. So in the first half, oftentimes we'll do an interview today. We've got a news roundup for you. We got a lot to say today.
Mm.
And in the second half, hang on until 8:30. We will be going to the phones for our community question. Free to call in. And turn into, put yourself on the show. And we want you to do that.
Yes. So, when appropriate.
When not a general endorsement of putting yourself on display, I guess. But on the radio show, we love that.
If you got a face for radio, we want to hear it.
So true.
before, can we do some pleasantries before we get in?
Yeah, sure, of course.
I love the drive to the station this morning.
Yeah.
I can't get over the beauty.
I know.
You can see it.
It's the air quality is bad, but the vistas are lovely.
What, you're breathing? Is that what you're telling me? Just sitting there, just
suddenly
inhaling?
You're breathing? Okay.
Yeah, the sun was looking very red yesterday.
Yeah.
I've seen some people walking around with masks. I'm like, why are they walking around with masks or like bandanas? And then I looked out, like physically went out, and I was like, oh, I get it.
Yeah. Like, I didn't see the air quality alert at first, and so I was, like, walking around outside, and I was like, the sky sure is doing the thing it does when there's wildfire smoke around. Probably doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, they're happening.
Incredible powers of deduction over here.
Sherry was letting me know that some people are getting the texts about possibly getting evacuated.
Yeah, there's a wildfire in Washington County now.
Mm.
Gnarly stuff.
Mm. Wishing everyone good luck.
Yes.
Hope you got a water source nearby.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, hope everyone stays safe.
Stay safe to the people who are being evacuated and also to the firefighters. I'm doing the hand gesture.
You're shaking your own hand.
Shaking my own
hand.
We want to shake his hand. Stay safe, guys.
Speaking of shaking one's own hand.
Okay.
Shall we go into
the
first news item?
Well, the first news item, of course. Yeah, let's do it. So you may remember, partially because Tammy and I talked about it a lot, there was this KGW story that came out a couple months ago now, I think, maybe in June, about they did an investigation and they found that there was this law firm from Tennessee that had a surprising, not so surprising pattern of making ADA, so Americans with Disabilities Act, compliance lawsuits against Asian-owned businesses in the Portland area. And with the way that the ADA like enforcement works, it's not enforced by the government, it's through private citizens. And the way that a lot of these lawsuits worked is they would just say, hey, $10,000 to pay us and also fix everything. But they don't necessarily tell you what is not compliant and what would need to be fixed. So that's kind of like the background on what was happening, which is obviously kind of screwed up.
Mm-hmm.
So what's new? Tell us, please.
Well, the following up, well, specifically just to add to what you're saying, out of the businesses that were targeted by this. I heard a phrase, I don't know if we can say it, your ambulance chaser? Can we say that?
Yeah, I mean, you can say it.
That's a phrase. Anyway,
so. Alleged.
Alleged. Alleged. I didn't know that this was like a thing that people do back in the day, like the 90s.
You ever watch Law & Order?
No, but tell me. I get scared watching it.
Well, I don't watch SVU for that reason, but yeah. You know, there's attorneys where they're like, "Oh, this Joker, he's such an ambulance chaser."
Oh, like, really? So that's So I guess this is like a thing that happens. Mm-hmm. And out of these businesses, Asian-owned Portland businesses seemed to be taking the brunt of it all, and for several different reasons, like being first generation or even immigrants themselves. English as a language barrier, just so many different things that would make this community even more susceptible to these type of things.
Well, and a lot of them are also like restaurants, which operate on pretty thin margins as well. So it's like, I can't have a lawsuit with some random person hanging over my head.
And then there is a follow-up that reported this week. Portland man admits he got paid $200 a visit to target businesses for disability access violations.
Yeah, this is from the Oregonian, and they talked to the person who a lot of these lawsuits were in the name of. Mm. So it's like, you know, there's an attorney who files a lawsuit, but they say that it's on behalf of this person. And Connor Slevin is his name. He found out from a Facebook friend 2 years ago that he could make some extra money this way. And so he would... you know, they would send him a list of places to go. He would go, he would get business cards, he would take a photo of himself outside of it, and then he would get paid $200 a visit.
And now on Tuesday, after a little bit, he realized that a couple of months ago, we were trying to figure out the timeline, whether it was after the first article came out, kind of, you know, breaking this news, or if it was before that. But in the last few months, it seems as though Slevin wasn't feeling comfortable with the way that things were, you know, developing, and more specifically about having these letters being sent out to businesses under his name. And so this week, they decided to sue the... I'm scared with lawyers. Allegedly sue the alleged lawyer for an alleged $4 million
yeah.
Alleging malpractice.
Yeah. So, right, yeah, suing the... So there's an Oregon lawyer named Jessica Mulligan who was representing Slevin, and then there's also this, like, Tennessee law firm. And I think, is he suing all of them? Who's he suing? Suing a lawyer? You gotta be careful about that. But, yeah, we were trying to figure out the timeline. This is my personal suspicion. This is not confirmed by anything. Mm-hmm. But I have hazarded a guess that, you know, if this article from KGW, which was an investigation, presumably yeah. they were working on it for a little while, that came out in June, and Slevin told the Oregonian that he wanted out in, like, in May. I wonder if there was, like, some... Oh, we're getting a little bit of pushback. Somebody is starting to ask questions. I want out, you know. That's my conspiracy theory, I guess.
This allegedly, even though it's written here, I'm just this is really fascinating. And it's just very unfortunate. And at the end of the day, I don't think any of the actual businesses who had to deal with the lawyer costs, the extortion bounty, the having to actually then, you know, fix whatever it is, figure out what you need to fix and then fixing it. It's not proper. And of course, you know, to use this, the Disability Act, to Americans with Disability Act as a way to like, obviously, we need to make changes in order to have, like, wheelchair-accessible doors and, like, ramps and seating that's proper. And we need that definitely.
Point blank period, yeah.
And why the hell are some people using this thing that we need as a way to, like, as, like, a cash cow?
Right.
It's not proper. This is why we can't have nice things, you know?
Right. Well, and here's the thing is that, you know, the lawmakers and advocates that crafted the ADA, like the act, they put in there that, you know, anybody who, you know, if you are a disabled person who reports that, like, hey, this is out of compliance, you are not entitled to any kind of settlement money. Like, that's designed as part of it. So good, but then now there's room for this whole sort of scheme of shakedowns to tell people, hey, we'll keep this out of court if you cough up 10 big ones right now. And, you know, there's, because all of that settled out of court, it's not even clear how much Mulligan and the Tennessee attorneys have been making on all of this.
It's,
I'm also just going to say, $200 a pop?
That covers your meal. And then some. That's a hefty tip.
I was going to say, I don't know if that's enough money for...
These days.
For being... You know, if it comes out that I'm involved in a scheme,
all right,
I'm going to say, let's get to five digits in terms of payout.
It's not that you can't buy me. It's no. Just, you know, you're going to have to it's offer just, a little I bit would, something.
Let's, you know, but I don't know. Maybe that's not a valid critique of the situation. Although, actually, now that I think about it, a lesser amount of money probably means it's less of a crime. You know,
it's the difference between a felony and a misdemeanor is $1,000.
Exactly.
Yeah, this another part of this article kind of talking a bit more about the ADA signed in 1990 by President George H.W. Bush says all businesses open to the public are required to be accessible and to make reasonable modifications for accessibility. No federal office, though, was set up to monitor or enforce the law, so it fell to the courts.
Yeah.
And now, considering I have to figure out more specifically. I don't know if like the chevron falls for everything, like for all courts everywhere, or just for like the higher courts.
Oh.
But if it does fall to the courts where something that the chevron decision where you don't have to go to like a specialized agency in order to figure out if there is an issue or what like the experts say about something. And I get it. So I get it. Not all experts are created equal, for sure. But if the chevron decision does fall into courts where something like this would go to who are the agents? It would fall into the court. It would fall into the judge. It would fall into however a person feels about either this act or feels about the crime itself, you know.
Yeah.
Lots of questions.
There's a lot of... And also, you know, I don't know this off the top of my head, but I wonder if, like, you know, having this act be in force since, you know, 1990, I wonder if disability advocates have, like, you know, a desire for a different sort of like structural system, you know? But yeah, this is, it's kind of screwy, you know? And also like, I don't know. I feel like everybody's trying to, it's like scatter the scheme. It was revealed.
Yeah, it does.
You know? And this is just stuff that's focused on Portland. Again, we're talking about like an out of state law firm kind of pushing people into this. Who's to say what they might be doing in other cities?
Sure, yeah. This makes me sad. There's also a part where the person who Slevin was explaining that they wanted to help in some way and wanted to get like paid for it, which I get. You know, it's just unfortunate. I just. The whole time all this was happening, you didn't feel like a little inkling, like maybe they're sending me to a lot of places where it seems to be the same type of places. Maybe there's there isn't something like an alert, a red light or something, a red flag that pops in your head.
Yeah, because it's not like, you know, you're an ADA compliance specialist coming in to like note all of the things that they should change and giving them a little form, you know. Yeah,
which that would be a lot less. It would give people a chance to correct. Yeah. You know, it will give you, and it say, okay, you know what? Here's what you need to do. You have, I don't know, whatever reasonable amount of time. You're not going to get fined, but after a certain amount of time, you will get fined or something like that. I don't know. I'm not making rules, you know, but something that's at least give a person a chance to try to redeem themselves.
Mm-hmm.
There's maybe they didn't know. I know ignorance to the law is not an excuse, but. We want to have these businesses here, right? I'm not seeing them going to no Targets or any type of like big box businesses or, you know, like why targeting specifically like, Asian owned businesses? That's odd.
And it's like, it's in a lot of like strip malls and stuff. And I'm sure that
with like small parking lots and stuff.
You know, concrete curbs and stuff probably falling apart a little bit. Like that's not, I don't know. But yeah, this article is interesting. It sort of outlines exactly how it worked. And now, you know, the Oregon lawyer that was involved in this, Mulligan, is in trouble in Oregon as well. Just a quick quote. Court records say Mulligan filed more than 40 cookie-cutter lawsuits against businesses in Oregon, and the Tennessee-based lawyers filed more than 200 nationally in what one federal judge likened to a, quote, shakedown. And so basically Slevin said he signed a representation agreement with two lawyers from Tennessee and one from Portland. Basically, they'll file the disability discrimination lawsuits in federal court on his behalf. He would, quote unquote, cooperate with them and give them power of attorney so they could negotiate these settlements. And he doesn't get any special benefit from that because, right, that's what the Disabilities Act doesn't allow. But, you know, in total, he says that he got at least $14,400 for initiating these cases starting in, like, 2022 and going until May. And, like, untold thousands netted by his lawyers, especially when it's, like, sorry, I know everybody's, like, lawyers are so expensive. They're just sending out form letters, man. There's 40 lawsuits on the books that were able to be, like, that were seen by, and the reason that KGW even found out about it is because the lawyer, I think, allegedly. the lawyer Mulligan was suing someone for not paying the full, like, $6,000 she wanted from them.
See, I didn't know we could just do that. Now that, and I should have studied. I should have studied
we
the
need
law.
To, we need to make a letterhead.
Yes, that's all. I have.
That's to be, all it takes, apparently.
Between ChatGPT and Canva, that's it. The world is ours.
Yeah.
Very unfortunate.
Very unfortunate.
I hope if this fellow really wanted to help, and it sounds like he himself might also be part of the disability community.
Yeah, he is.
And
he
so is. I get it. I get it. I understand. And I hope, you know, that he can channel that energy somewhere else that can actually be helpful to all of us together as like, you know, as neighbors and people who live in the same city and not take, you know, people out of business because you're getting paid $200 to do that. Like, at least charge more.
Yeah.
If you're going to be out here being like giving businesses the kiss of death, at least charge a little bit more.
Yeah. I think that there's a, you know, like you kind of said, there's like a collaborative, there might be a collaborative way to help businesses understand what they need to do to make their restaurants and stuff accessible.
I think that now he has all this experience, for better or worse, he has this experience, and he could turn it around to make something fruitful out of it. And I don't mean like making money. I mean, you know, now you know something about that you didn't know before.
Yeah.
More information, I think, is always good.
Yes.
Totally. So I hope, and I, you know, maybe this is a part, sure, it was all falling apart, House of Cards, but maybe this was his way of, it's easy to read it as, oh, he's just copying out. Maybe this is his way of trying to make it whole again. That $4 million, though.
Yeah. I need $4 million. Which, I wonder where the $4 million came from. Like, is that how much they think that Mulligan's made on it? I don't know.
Yeah, someone needs to get that figure. Speaking of figures.
Okay.
Speaking of figures and numbers that make no sense. Do you want to take this one? This is all you.
Yeah, I'd be happy to.
Well, I need a...
Get your mind right, get your body right, okay? Portland Commissioner Rene Gonzalez spent thousands in city funds to polish Wikipedia page. Oh, God. Okay, so if you didn't hear, Rene Gonzalez, who is also running for mayoral candidate Rene Gonzalez, spent $6,400 in the city's money, and an important thing about the city's money is it's the taxpayers' money, the people's money, to... get somebody from a contractor in New York to request changes to his Wikipedia page. And only four of them were accepted. And I mean, there's a lot to kind of, give me your first reactions here before we get into what those edits were.
I said 6,000. I would have done it for five.
Yeah,
for sure. Secondly,
shop local.
Secondly, whatever search engine, if someone's listening, search engine, type in who can be a Wikipedia editor, and you'll see anyone can be a Wikipedia. Did I say article? I meant editor.
Yeah.
Anyone can be a Wikipedia Wikipedia
you said
editor.
It right. You said it right.
So what did you do there? And also the last thing, this sounds very familiar. This reminds me of a story. It's kind of an old story. It happened like 2 months ago. There was this guy, and he had paid some woman hush money somewhere. Was in New York, I think. It was hush money because they had their rendezvous at some point, and he was running for an elected, you know, for a post, elected post. And he said, no, I gotta, you can't talk about this story.
Yeah.
I mean, sorry, you can't talk about this person. So I'm going to give you some money for my campaign. And so that you hush up so that I can go run for president. So
president?
Yeah, that was Trump.
Whoa.
That, you know, those 34, the famous 34, that's
whoa.
What... those counts. So, and he didn't do it with taxpayer money.
No.
And also, you're doing that, you are running... You're a candidate. You are running for mayor.
First of all,
to calm myself down.
You got ripped off.
You got ripped off, first of all.
You got ripped off, and then you got ripped off with the people's money? Come on.
It's a thing anyone can... And also, if you go to his Wiki page right now, this This $6,000 is mentioned in his wiki page.
It's on the first thing.
It's a first.
Renee Gonzalez.
It's in the introduction. It's not even under. You don't have to go anywhere. It's the first thing you see.
Ay, ay, ay.
And it's a waste of our money. And it also makes me think, if this is what you're going to do running for mayor, what are you going to do as mayor? What is $6,000?
He got a new paragraph in his controversies section.
And with and then we were looking at the talk section of it.
Yeah, because on Wikipedia there's like the article itself, and then there's another tab that you can go to, which is the Wikipedia editors talking about what's on the page. Also, just sort of
they've been talking.
They've been talking. They like rank how important the articles are. So it's like related to biographies of politics and government. Oregon, low importance. American politics, low importance. I just think that's funny.
There's a lot of that's. Yeah, then they have the number of who's been paid by the city of Portland. This is just really embarrassing, dude. And then there's a part about how there is a possibility or papers, something about some other members. I'm trying to find it.
Can I add one of the
rejected?
One of the things that they, so there was some sort of like, you know, just minor edits of like, oh, can we talk about his law degree here? Or, oh, can we talk about his dad in this paragraph? And they're like, yeah, sure, that's fine. But they did want to eliminate an entire line about the Portland Mercury bringing up that Rene Gonzalez tweeted an election thank you on Twitter that he, you know, once he was elected, and tagged a member of the far right wing group Patriot Prayer as hey, thank you, man. Appreciate
Thanks,
you.
Friends.
Yeah, yeah. And they were like, oh, this old rag, the Portland Mercury can't let that be on my Wikipedia page. You did it.
But doesn't he still have the, remember when he posted on Instagram about the shooting?
He tagged Andy Ngo like 2 weeks ago.
Remember about the shooting? He's like, here's a map of all the shooting that happens in
Portland. Oh, yeah.
And it was just not.
That was inaccurate at all.
And he kept it there?
Yeah. It could still be up on his Instagram today for all we know.
Listen, 5,000, five and a half, I'll do it.
Yeah, this is good.
What's up?
Open bidding.
This is when you don't have open bidding, that's a problem. You tell them. You get all these out-of-state influencers.
Oh, my God.
Out-of-state influence. Is it a
cop? Not to be isolationist.
Don't tell me it's a California.
New York.
Okay.
Oh, you're allowed.
New York, you think if we're going to be, listen, if we're,
she's wrapping her sweater up around her neck, by the way.
Because this goes, it keeps saying, if you're going to be a shell of a city, then you're going to have to make sure your shell looks good. And this is what, boom, here it is, right in front of your face. But like you said, politics, Oregon, low importance. It's and this is what this person is doing, running for president. I was stuck with Stormy. This is my money. I don't want you paying for. I don't want you using it like this.
And you should not. Clearly, this seems like it's for a campaign purpose.
Of course, this is for. I have to calm myself down.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
is very. I won't say it's the same exact thing. Okay, there are so many similarities between the Trump case, the most recent hush money Trump case, to this. And I just both of them are running for elected office. Both of them are. Used funds in order to make themselves look good running for public office.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people say, well, that's literally what you do before you run for public office. I get it. But if Trump can't do it, then why can we do it on the local level?
Yeah.
And forget about that. Taxpayer funds to do this?
It's not a good look. And it's also, I don't know if you remember, there was like a legal case. This was probably 15 years ago now, but this guy who was like, I am suing Google to like get rid of my search results because it's saying that I was, I don't know, I think it was something embarrassing or whatever. And it was like establishing this idea that he has a right to be forgotten. I think they call it the Aww. Barbara Streisand effect.
Yeah.
But it's like as soon as you start calling attention to like, no, change this about me. Don't say this about me anymore.
Yeah.
To a certain extent, it's like, oh, well, now that's on your Wikipedia page. Like all anybody is going to think about your Wikipedia page is that you were like crabbing about the Portland Mercury pointing out that you tweeted a thank you to someone from Patriot Prayer, which you did do. So it'd be one thing if you didn't do it.
Listen,
please
maybe
change that. Stop saying that I'm thanking Patriot Prayer for my electoral wins, but you did do that. So
good luck. That's all I got. Good luck.
Good luck to you.
I like the right to be forgotten. Wow, that's deep.
Yeah, it didn't. I don't think it really panned out for him because now he's the one that we talk about when we're like, oh, do you have a right to be forgotten?
That's a beautiful. That's online. Poetry right there.
Yeah, it's
the internet never forgets.
Yeah, it is interesting. Check out that talk page on his Wikipedia if you're at all interested in kind of the back and forth about that. I mean, here's the thing. Wikipedia editors, they may be volunteers, but they take it real damn serious.
Oh, snap. They changed it.
It's not at the top anymore. It's in his controversy section. I noticed.
Oh, they changed it. Wow, we're giving you news on the fly.
Live.
You see this? Live music right here. Live updates. Boom, boom, boom. Good luck. That's all I've got to say.
Good luck to you.
Good luck to us. What to you? To us. We need the good luck. Yeah. It's our money being squandered.
Right.
Not to mention that with Bobby Lee with the $60,000 with that painting.
Yeah. Yeah. And they were about to just stop having a transportation bureau earlier this year.
I feel, you know, as taxpayers, we should just be glad they're diversifying our portfolio.
It's so true. Everywhere. And here's the thing about, you know, when we're all paying into something, like, we should benefit. And we should take care of those who are less fortunate, like Renee Gonzalez. And I think it's good for all of us in the city of Portland that his Wikipedia page is a little bit, you know, spruced up. It's a little bit kinder about him, you know? So I appreciate that.
Yeah, because he's the only one running for mayor, too. So, like, we need this public image. Makes me want to go to Kate Kotek. Wow. Tina Kotek's wiki, see what's going on there.
Let's get into that talk page. Tammy and I will go deep on Wikipedia.
It's really, I'm just here to just read. Just
$200.
$250. You know, now I could raise my prices.
No, there you go.
But not for you, Renee. $5,000, I would do it.
Mm.
And I'd keep my services. Put me on a retainer 6 months.
Yeah.
I'm generous.
Just any other controversies that you gin up, I will fight with people on the talk Wikipedia
page. No, I do it by controversy. I'm not going to that's where the money is at. Come on.
Yeah, actually, that's smart.
She's
a businesswoman.
Well, because it's living in Portland, one thing it taught me is that if you want to make money, become a contractor and get a state government contract.
Yep.
That's where the money is at.
I think that's... It's true. I don't love that that's the reputation that we have, but it is true.
And if you get it from here, then you don't have to actually do it, produce anything, unfortunately.
Yeah. How can you want to be the mayor of Portland and you're not even going to, like, pay someone locally to change your Wikipedia
right.
page?
And then when something does work, we're like, why is this working? Get this out of here. So
we should get rid of the Clean Energy Fund. I'll say it.
If everyone
sarcasm.
Shop locally.
Shop
local. Even for your contractors, even for your embezzlements, for your crimes and your good times.
If you're going to go after local businesses, at least have a local lawyer do it, you know?
For us, by us.
So true.
It's FUBU there for you. Are we ready to go to open up phone lines? Do a quick musical break?
A little musical break.
Fantastic.
This is The Gap. We'll be back in a moment.
Yes, the sky, 'cause I'm singing my song in the wind. I can touch both your eyes with my smile, 'cause I'm singing my song. It's love, it's mine, it's yours, it's life, it's free. It's love, it's mine, it's yours, it's life, it's free. Long ago, I was blind in my mind, couldn't see the world. Song. Every place that I went, I heard stillness of people alone. It's love, it's mine, it's yours, it's life, it's free. It's love, it's mine, it's yours, it's life, it's free. Till one day in the spring, yes, the springtime, I saw everything. Small child laughing wild, and I heard children grow. It's love, it's mine, it's yours, it's life, it's free.
Life is yours. Love is free. KBOO Portland. We are The Gap. I'm Tammy.
I'm Althea. It's community question time. Folks, we want you to call in. We're talking best advice, worst advice. Did I say advice?
I heard it. You're asking me saying? Of all people?
Oh, geez. Okay, we want to know what's the best advice you ever got. What's the worst advice? File that away under, I'm not doing that. 503-231-8187. We want to hear from you. We have somebody, Pete, called and wants to say something about the Gonzalez story. So, Pete, let her rip. You're on with us.
Hi. Yeah, this is Pete Forsyth, Renee, Althea. I think we've talked a couple times before. I just wanted to comment on the Wikipedia story. I have not yet had the chance to really delve into the details of this, but I appreciate your coverage, and I am, I've been a Wikipedia trainer and consultant for like 15 plus years. So this is really one that is, it's very much of interest to me, and I appreciate the way that you are covering it. I think, you know, almost all of what you said is totally spot on. There's just a couple points that I thought I could maybe clarify.
Sure.
Just on the cost of it, I know that the cost sounds high, but actually, like, my contracts have typically been in a similar range.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about Wikipedia is that it does have very high standards, even if they're somewhat erratically, you know, enacted. But in order to make a change where there is a conflict of interest, and to do it within the rules, meaning that you're being upfront that there is a conflict of interest,
mm-hmm.
really requires a lot of pre-processing to make the best case for the best points.
Yeah.
You know, so you want to, like, as a consultant, you need to spend a lot of time with the client. They might say there's 15 things that absolutely have to change, and it might take a lot of deliberation before you get to the point where it's like, you know what, there's only three of those points that are actually legitimate, that are actually going to apply.
Yeah.
And then there's the work of making the case to Wikipedia editors.
Mm-hmm.
So it actually takes a lot more effort than you might think to mm-hmm. do it in a way that doesn't kind of ricochet and put you in a worse position.
Is it normal to use a tax, like in your contracts, to get like tax payer funds
I mean, that's, you know, that part is, I couldn't agree with you more. It's also not, you know, as far as the, like, that's not really a Wikipedia issue. That's sort of,
sure.
that's more of a taxpayer
right.
issue.
Just wondering, right? as contracts, if that's normative, if that's like the norm in some way.
I really don't think that it's normal. I don't have any way of knowing, but, mm-hmm. but just, you know, having, like, I have done some work in politics in the past. And my general sense is that something like that would typically, basically always come out of campaign funds, not out of the general fund. I mean, that just on the face of it, it seems ridiculous to me. Again, I haven't like dug into the details, but I totally agree with your assessment on that one.
Well, we appreciate you calling. It's good to get some perspective from somebody who knows Wikipedia inside and out.
Cool. You know, there's just one other piece of it that I could probably clarify.
Okay.
Is the importance scale. I think if you look around, like, the importance scale is basically, the intention of it is not really to be like a reader-facing thing. It's more for editors to sort of prioritize, like, what are we trying to work on?
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you were to look at it and find other people who have been city commissioners or candidates for mayor, that you would find that a low importance for the state of Oregon is actually entirely consistent through that.
Right.
It's, you know, it's really like there's actually, if you really want to dig for it, there is a pretty specific set of standards around that. And for a local politician, it would be very rare for them to even go up to the next level of mid importance for the state.
Here's a question. Would this sort of like level of, I guess, controversy that makes it out of the talk page on Wikipedia and like regular people who don't read the talk page know about it, does that raise importance in any way?
You know, typically it does not. Importance is general. Like when it comes to something like an office holder, it's generally done with a pretty broad brush, and it's like a matter of how high is the level of office that they've held, how long have they held it. So you might find that there are, like, if you were to look at the history of, like, you know, U.S. representatives or something in Oregon, you might find that there are some who had a great deal of controversy, or some that had, you know, I think, like, Les O'Coin, I think, was in Congress for, like, 18 years. He may have been, like, the longest running, and then there might be others who only held office for one term. I don't think you're going to find a lot of variation in terms of the importance level that they're ranked at. You might find a little bit. You know, you might find that someone like a Les O'Coin would be like one level higher than someone who was only in office for one term.
Yeah.
But it's not going to be a huge variation within that. It's more about what office is held.
Cool. Well, Pete, thank you so much for calling. You know, if you dig into the Wikipedia page and you find anything interesting, definitely send us an email.
You bet. It's on my list. This whole story is just broken while I've been really busy, so I'm looking forward to getting into it.
Cool. We got our Wiki in-house specialist,
yep.
So thank you.
We love it. You have a good one.
All right.
Take care.
Thank you.
Interesting. Folks, we're pivoting, okay?
503-231-8187.
Best advice, worst advice, we want to know. You can also message us on the KBOO website, kboo.fm. On the bottom right-hand corner, there is a little chat with us button. You can click on that and type to us. You can email us. Our email address is thegapradio@gmail.com. You can also message us on Instagram, @thegapradio.
Man, that was some good information. Good, best advice, worst advice, medium advice. I'll take it.
Advice that is just okay.
Okay, advice. Fine. Do you have one off the top of your head?
It's a good question. Well, okay. I feel like I was a lot more advice oriented when I was younger, because I was like, "What the heck am I doing?"
Giving it or getting it?
Getting okay. It. Yeah. And one that I got was walk like you know where you're going.
Mm.
That's powerful.
Mm.
Also, because there's a lot of people who walk like they don't know where they're going.
That's what you call an easy lick.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And even if you're going in the wrong direction, go in the wrong direction confidently.
Unless you're in a car.
Well, oh, right. Yeah, yeah. No, sorry. Not. Yeah. I don't take issue with the existence of one-way streets. Let me get out ahead of that.
No, but I hear you, though. It's definitely, I live in a place there's a lot of tourists that go there sometimes, mm-hmm. or just people who don't tourists. They live in town. They just don't live in that street. And I see them with their phones and they're looking around. I'm just like, just ask me if, you know, like, hey, you seem lost. Do you need something? But I just wonder, like, damn, if you're looking like that and you're in like a big bad city and it's, you know, you probably don't want to look too clueless walking around in a city with your phone like out for someone to just snatch. Look where, yeah. Or go to a store. Ask, hey, I'm looking for this, that, and the other.
And that's the thing. A lot of times people do know that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they don't, but they know somebody who would know.
Mm.
They say, I just got hired here. I don't know that neighborhood that well, but go to the coffee shop next door type of thing.
Sure, yeah.
You know?
Worst advice that comes to mind?
Worst advice. I mean, I think a lot of the worst advice was like really situational. But I do have a friend who I love very dearly who gives not good advice. And it really freed me when I realized that I was not getting good advice from her. And so anything that she told me to do, I'm like, okay, I'm going to sit on that and probably not do what you said. Because she has a really, you know, intense and extreme take on things a lot of the time. So
is it me? Are you talking
about
me?
No, not you. This is how you find out. On our 5-year anniversary of meeting.
This is true. It is 5-year anniversary.
We met 5 years ago to the day.
But it was on the 8th, right? I've been wondering why August 8th is like in my mind.
It's on the 9th, on the 9th.
Oh, I don't know. August 8th, whatever happened. Sorry,
9th
I forgot.
9th was my first day at KBOO, and it was the first day that I met Tammy, because she was producing the news. And I thought that I had offended you in some way because you immediately quit doing the news after I started. And I was like, dang, I don't think Tammy liked me that much.
No, it was some other drama. Who knows? I've been dramatic in my life.
No, it's all good. And here's another good piece of advice. Mm. It's not always about you.
That is a great advice. A good advice I heard is don't take it personally.
Yeah.
Or don't take it to heart.
You know, and that's important. That's important. If folks want to call, please, 503-231-8187. We're talking best advice, worst advice. What about you?
Best advice, save for retirement. Mm. My mom says, oh, she has something so beautiful. She says, you save money now and money will save you later.
That's interesting. Very interesting.
She also has another advice that she'd say, I think I've said this on the show before, that men are like shadow, and when you walk away, they chase you. When you get closer to them, they run away.
Oh, that's good. She should make like a little book or something.
I've always thought that. Yeah. I've always thought that.
I know someone who does bookbinding now. If you start writing them down, I'll bind them for you. I know a guy. And we have a caller on the line. Hi, caller. You're on with us.
Hi, y'all. I was just asking a best advice from you all on that whole comment, because I say this a lot. I'm a 74 Salmon Creek resident, and then Portland Metro moved in the 90s. So I've had my house broken into, the car stolen, multiple trespassing, blah, 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 all this stuff. And it's that whole, I own a house. I pay property tax, so I can see the delineation on that whole, like, I'm paying for this. But if you guys could, like, just break it down, what is it that we actually are paying for? Hmm. If there's any way to set that up, of like, if you are a renter, this is what you pay for to the city, and maybe top three bullet points. I know we pay for, you know, police and fire, but what about all the streets that are completely, like, a mess? Like, do we actually, that whole thing of how honest can you be when you're saying, I pay for this, expletives?
Yeah.
It should be better than it is. And then last thing, if any comment on how in the heck did that telecom bridge get built seemingly overnight, seamlessly, and we can't figure out the I-5 bridge? Okay, gotta go. Thank you. Bye.
That's a lot of, those are some really good threads for us to pull on. Yeah, dang. We did get the telecom bridge up pretty quick. Well, maybe because it was a new bridge, not like a replacement bridge. That's my conjecture, knowing nothing.
Oh, I understand. I like that. I've thought before of having, like, sometimes when I get very frustrated, I'm like, I'm going to sit down and make a list of all the measures that got approved within the last, like, you know, let's say like 4 to 8 years, and write out how much I get paid, how much of my paycheck goes to these measures that we voted in for, that for some of them, not all of them, but for some of them, either got backtracked or we're just not getting that return on investment that we've seen in the potholes.
For the potholes. I think there's some math to be done there, because the city budget is, of course, public. Also, something that might be of interest to people, there is like a movement in town towards participatory budgeting, which would involve the people in more of the city budget process. So that might be worth a little Google search on your own time. We have another caller on the line. Hi, Paige.
Hello. First, what's wrong with the telecom bridge? I didn't know there was any controversy.
I don't think there's anything. I think it's what's right with the telecom bridge. They put it up. It looks great. It seems to work well. How do we replicate that?
And it doesn't look like it's about to fall down.
And it might be the only one standing. That and the Selwood Bridge are the ones that have a chance in the earthquake, right?
Knocking on wood, just in case.
Yeah.
I agree. Well, my advice fits right in with the spending money and all that. And it was from my father, and he said, to buy your own damn sandwich.
Oh, I know that's right.
How have you applied that, would you say?
How
do you, like, apply that? You buy sandwiches?
You make the sandwich, Althea.
Don't sit there and wait for the guy to buy it or you know, do fancy conniptions to get what you want, you know. Or it's just like, come on, just man up, girl up, whatever, and just buy your own damn sandwich. don't have to be ingratiating and... not that I always follow that advice, but still.
Yeah, you don't necessarily need to wait for someone to do something for you that you could do yourself.
Yeah, exactly. And also keeps the power in your pocket.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of, not beholden.
Yeah.
You know, when, yeah. anyway, it just sort of seems to apply just in general.
Yeah, I think you can take it broad for sure. Well, thank you, Paige. We appreciate you calling.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm enjoying your program.
Thank you so much.
Adios.
See ya. Yeah. There's no such thing as a free lunch.
That's another little adage. Mm. A lot of lunch-related adages. Should we have just slimmed this down to, like, what idioms do you know about lunch?
503-231-8187.
Best advice, worst advice.
I'm trying to think of the worst advice I've ever gotten. I think, interestingly, the same advice has been the worst and the best I've gotten, which is don't worry. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, situational.
Yeah, best and worst.
Sometimes you need to not worry, and sometimes, like, actually, hang on, pay attention. things are moving rapidly. I have that too. It'll probably work itself out. No, you need to make some calls. You need to do some Googling. Stop procrastinating. Type of thing.
And of course, and you know, timing is everything. Another good advice is, I think this is something about, like, yeah, time wounds all heals, or all heal. Time wounds all wounds.
Cut my freaking foot on the time. It wounds all of our heels.
Time heals all wounds.
Yes. It's very true.
Sometimes it gets worse, but, you know, just metaphorically speaking.
I remembered two good pieces of advice.
Oh, yes, please.
One, when you're kind of having a bad day, reflect and say, what could I do to make myself feel worse? And then don't do those things, because sometimes you're like, what would make me feel worse? And I'd be like, oh, if I just, like, laid in my bed and, like, scrolled on my phone all day, like, that would probably not make me feel better. I could do this to feel worse, so maybe let me try to do something else.
No, that's, you know, really good. I'm keeping that.
Yeah,
that's good, because to try to make yourself feel good, sometimes it feels like it takes so much initial energy to just
get that momentum. You're like, I should go for a walk, but, like, I don't want to, and my feet hurt, and it's not going to be worth it.
Right, you're like, oh, but it's like, the best thing I can do for myself is, like, maybe eat, and then you're like, okay, what am I going to eat, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, and it's just like, the worst thing I can do is to not
drink water or nothing.
You know? I got another caller on the line. Joel, you are on the air.
Hey, I thought I'd, for my part, humbly put one out there as a bit of advice. I thought to avoid fundamentalism on, so to speak, like, kind of any side, to always sincerely say I might be slightly wrong or on any held belief that possibly could be mistaken, or there's more subtlety to it. And I like bringing this up only with no issues in mind at all, because it's such a, I'm not signaling any side here. I really not. It's a sort of to avoid the pitfalls of fundamentalism. I hope this isn't just with regard to personal security, the good advice thing, bad advice.
No, I think people just have a lot of money advice.
Oh, yeah. Well, that would be all I had. Just, you know, I think when one kind of locks into a, I don't maybe mean principles, like, there can be deep principles which I think people could hold on to, but I think this would be one of those principles, maybe, just to never, to enter, you know, people of good faith, at least, talking at you, discussing with those, to entertain, actually, one might be slightly misunderstood, or one might be slightly, have something to learn, and one doesn't, that would be my definition of avoiding fundamentalism on any, so to speak, side. That's all I had.
I like that.
I love it. Yeah. I love that. It's, you know, it's something I've also been trying to keep with myself. Everything is so heightened these days, or last few years, is I don't want to demonize someone who disagrees with me just because they disagree, or just because they don't know something that I know.
Yeah.
Because it's okay to disagree. I'm okay with someone lying to me, but the second you demonize me, that becomes a problem for me, you know?
Oh, totally. Yeah. And I mean, one can never know this, but also there's a lot of bad faith. There's a lot of gaslighting, bad faith attacks, if you know what I mean. People that are purposely not saying all they mean.
Oh, yeah.
Right there. You can't, it's hard to, but I don't, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people earnestly trying to say, you know, gently tap, so to speak, tap on you and be like, I think possibly there's, you know, something, you know, here or there. Anyway, that's all I had. Appreciate you both.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yep. Okay.
Very important.
It reminds me of another piece of advice. Imagine things a little more complexly.
Mm.
There might be another layer of nuance in there. I like that one. Okay, can I say my other one that I remembered? And this one, I like, it took me a while to get it. Anything that's worth doing is worth doing poorly. So, for example, if you have a goal, you're like, I want to read more. Oh, but I'm never going to finish this book. You know, read 2 pages. That's good. Mm-hmm. That's better than not reading at all, you know? And people also have this with art. They're like, well, I don't want to, I think that, like, watercolor painting seems fun, but I'm going to be bad at it. It's like, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's okay. It's okay. Like, anything that is worth doing is worth doing badly.
You got to start. You're not going to start at Picasso, but...
Well, he didn't become Picasso. Right, he started at Rembrandt, and he became Picasso.
You got to start. It's baby steps, yeah. And I think it's Obama or some. I don't know if it's from the Bible or Obama. I don't know. I'm sorry, but something
the big
about
two. My main sources that I go to for wisdom.
I think it's something like don't let perfection be the enemy of progression or something.
Yeah, I've heard it as don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good.
Well, maybe okay. Then it's my own thing. Then Obama can have a second fiddle to Tammy. We have another caller on the line.
Roger, you're on with us.
Oh, hi. You know, about back in the 70s, I was living in Ashland, and my roommate used to go play tennis every day. And I thought, boy, you must really like tennis. He said, yeah, I want to be a tennis pro. And I said, oh, that's cool. You mean like competitive? He says, no, just as a job. And I said, wow, that's cool. And he said, you know what you should... I said, I wonder what I should do. He said, well, you should think of something you really like doing and then do it all the time until you get really good and make that your job. And so he said, what do you like doing? I said, well, I like bikes. And he said, well, why don't you learn how to fix bikes? And so I went to Bi-Mart and bought some tools and a bike manual, and then I started... He said, well, I need a bike. Make me a bike. So I made him a bike, and then... I kept doing it and rented a little shed and started fixing bikes. And then I moved to Portland and I saw this job at Bike Repair Collective. And so I went and applied for the job and I got the job. And 5 years later, they were moving and I said, oh, I think I'll stay here and start my own shop. So I started City Bikes up the street on Ankeny. And it was all because my roommate told me to pursue what I love doing. And I think that was great advice.
Hugely great advice, it sounds like. That's very cool. Good to hear from you, Roger.
It's cool, yeah. And as far as bad advice, my mother would say it was when someone said, don't let your books get in the way of your education. And I guess I took that advice kind of seriously, and I had a great time in college, but, you know, I ended up being a goddamn bike mechanic. As my mother said. Okay, anyway, I love your show. Thank you.
Thank you, Roger.
Thanks, Roger. We appreciate it. Bye.
I love that.
Good advice, bad advice.
All the advice I've gotten that was serious advice have always been through books or music or movies.
Mm-hmm.
One from Bukowski that's like, find what you love and let it kill you.
Mm.
And I know it's not very positive, but I love that. And I feel very animated by that.
Yeah.
Which made me think a little bit of what Roger was talking about.
Yeah. I like that. I like that a lot. Should we do our little weekend announcements while
wrapping
we're
it
here?
Up?
Folks, we always like to let you know some open to the public events that are happening this weekend. You want to read them or you want me to read them?
Oh, go for it.
Okay. On Friday at Holly Farm Park, so that's today, I believe at 7:30, they are screening the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie at Holly Farm Park. Tomorrow, this weekend, is Washington Park Summer Festival at the Rose Garden Amphitheater, which starts at 6 p.m. both nights. On Saturday, a Rejoice Diaspora dance, and on Sunday, Edna Vasquez with Mariachi Portland.
Oh, fun. Get a little Afrobeats on Saturday.
A lot of good stuff music. There. Also, the KBOO election agenda survey is out until Wednesday, so get it while it's hot. bit.ly/KBOO survey24. You can also, on the KBOO homepage at KBOO.fm, you can click on take our survey. What else?
That's about it. We have a moment or two left for the show. Oh. Gotta wrap it up.
Well, we should we tell people?
Oh, they'll have to wait till next week.
Oh, they'll wait till next week.
Gotta wait till next week. There's a caller. We're sorry. We can't take your call. There's another show coming after this, no?
Yeah, I think so. We want to make sure that we're being respectful, but yes. we do really, really appreciate... Oh, there's not. We can hang out for a second. We really appreciate everybody for listening and for being here with us. We hope that you are becoming discerning about good advice and bad advice. Sometimes it's situational. Sometimes what was good advice now is bad advice later.
That's true. And I don't know who gave us this for advice for the show, but we have it on our run sheet. So every week we have it in our in the heading of what we look at. And it is, you can't be everything to everyone.
And that's so true.
It's got to be you.
It's really good advice.
People are going to like it or they're not going to like it. And another one.
Yeah.
We didn't fall out of a coconut tree.
You never did fall out of a coconut tree.
You live in the context
of
what came before you.
And everything... And all the other.
And all the other. So. We were so good. We were so good. We will see you all next week.
Yep.
Enjoy yourselves. Stay cool. And hope everyone is safe from the fires.
Yes. Yes. We'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM in the Portland area and all over the world at kboo.fm.
Tune in to Higher Reasoning Reggae every Sunday morning at 3 a.m. Higher Reasoning Reggae is dedicated to bringing international reggae word and sound.